Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Today is February 19th, and this is Mitzi. So glad you could tune in and listen to the show. It's a really cold, snowy day, but that gives us all time to do things that perhaps we don't usually get a chance to do, like listen to a talk show. So the topic for today is, does Jesus love prostitutes? Does he have a love for people that are in darkness? So what leads a person down a path that causes them to live in subcultures here in the United States? And by subculture, I mean a cultural group of people living within a larger culture, often having beliefs or interests at variance with those of the larger culture. I call them people living in darkness, on the edge of society, the forgotten, the lonely, most often the abused, those who walk around with an invisible wound on their heart. Sometimes it's a gaping hole. Don't most of us walk around focusing on our own needs and our desires? I mean, even if we see those I'm highlighting here today, we don't typically understand why they live this lifestyle. And even if we wanted to help them, most of us aren't sure how. So I'd like to take today's show to explain what makes a broken heart, a wounded heart, and if that heart's not healed, where it might possibly be. So in researching the material for today's show, I came across a website called I Am Second. Many real people, some even famous, tell their own personal stories of what happened to them in childhood or at college that led them on a path they didn't even know existed. If you yourself would like to gain a greater understanding or hear some specific life stories from people that were really brave and shared their own story, please go to this site. Each of their stories led to their own broken heart, and each story is unique. If you have a broken heart and are ready to be healed and take back the power you have over your own life, you will find many good resources from this site. I Am Second is the name of it. There are many resources on the internet to find help from. I want you to know there is a way and there is hope. Nobody has to be without hope, and not in this day and age. We have so many resources. There is just so much going on out there. And I know when we think about God, and we think about Jesus, we think about a way out of our lifestyle, then we typically hear words that have been thrown around throughout centuries of sin. We hear the words repentance. We hear the words salvation. And we also probably feel like there's no way we could walk inside a church because we're not worthy, and we know that we'll be judged. And we feel like church is for those that have been already cleaned up and that they're good people, and that we think we don't fit in with those people. And I'm just here to tell you, if you have a broken heart, you don't have to go to church to have that heart healed. Church is a wonderful place oftentimes because it's a community of believers. But Jesus didn't come and say, let me create churches. He said, let me come for the sinner and let me heal the brokenhearted. So today we're talking about those who have a broken heart, who may have gone down the trail of being, let's say maybe they've been in the adult entertainment business. Maybe they are prostitutes, dancers that work in adult entertainment clubs, strip clubs, male, female, transgendered. Perhaps you've worked in, or you know people who have worked as pornography actors. The list goes on and on of the subcultures that we have here in America, and that many people participate in. People who are respected during the day, hold big jobs, and just are people we all look up to and would never even think that they would have those things in their life. But I'm here to tell you that people have secrets, and there are all kinds of things going on in our society. And even though we may have those secrets from one another, and we may even keep those secrets from ourselves because we live in denial, and we as humans are great at denial, at covering up those kind of things. But God knows. He knows everything. He knows what we're doing. And He didn't expect us to be perfect. He knew in the beginning that we were not going to be perfect. So He made a way of escape for us. And He talks about these very things of that happened during His lifetime, that happened before Jesus was even born, and that are happening now in our lifetime. So the Bible that was written over 2,000 years ago does apply to our life today. So let's just go there for a few minutes. In the Old Testament, we find that there were prostitutes that worked at the temple. Also, we saw that prostitutes had rights. They were not a second-class citizen without rights in the Old Testament. They could own land, and they could have their cases heard in the highest court. You can find that story in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 27. Jesus had dealings with those considered on the edge of society in His lifetime. In Mark 2, verses 15 through 17, we find this story. And I'm just going to read it to you from the scripture because I love the way it reads. And it happened that he was reclining at the table in the house of Levi, Matthew his disciple. Many tax collectors and sinners were dining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many of them, and they were following him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why is he eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners?" Well, let me tell you, people, prostitutes at that time were called sinners in polite company, just as they were called fallen women by the Victorians. So when they used the term sinners, they were talking precisely about prostitutes. And hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." Did you hear who he said he came for? He came for the sinners. Jesus was born, lived his life, died his death on the cross, was resurrected for those who recognize that they have sin in their life. He never used an euphemism for the word prostitute. When he condemned the Pharisees, he said in Matthew 21, 31 through 33, "Tax collectors and prostitutes will get to the kingdom of heaven before you." Jesus was sympathetic to the sinner, but not to the sin itself. When he was asked to affirm the death penalty for the woman caught in adultery and brought before him in John verse 8:11, he said, "Those without sin throw the first stone. As each man searched his own heart, they one by one turned and walked away." Left alone with Jesus, Jesus tells her, "I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more." So he loves the person, but he doesn't love the sin. In Jesus' own family tree, there were two prostitutes that are mentioned, Tamar in Genesis 38 and Rahab in Joshua 6. And these women are in the generational bloodline of Jesus. Both of these women were prostitutes. The New Testament church contained former sex workers. Paul states in 1 Corinthians 6 through 9, chapter 6, 9 through 11, he says, "Such as which some of you were, So he's saying to his congregation that some of you were prostitutes, some of you were sex workers, but you've come out of that. Hallelujah. Praise God. You've come out of that. You're sitting here. We all have something that we walked out from, and some of you belonged in that category. But I have to say, I have never been in a church in this modern age that will say, such as which some of you were. In fact, it's just like I said when I opened up the show, it feels like you can't go to church because you would not be accepted there. But I am here to tell you that we are living in a rapidly changing world. For those who have their eyes open, God is reaching out to those in the darkness. Oh, so often there are two ways that people get to God. And we're all on that path, whether we want to admit it or realize it. We're all on that path. We were created for God's delight. We, you know, people say, what is the purpose of life? Why were we created? You can accept this answer or you can search for it in another way. I've asked a lot of people that question and I've gotten all kinds of answers. I have a friend who's a graduate from Harvard and he says he still can't figure out what the purpose of life is, that it was all just a big joke. But I think we were created for God's pleasure, that he has a master plan that many of us don't see, that we don't realize is taking place. And through no fault of our own, we can't see unless God opens up our eyes to see. And in his time, he will do that for each person. But in my life, what I've observed are there are two ways to get to God. And one of those ways is through love. But one of those ways is through pain. And so many times, we end up going the way of pain. And the route of pain is painful. And it can be long, and we can relate it to the school of hard knocks, the school of experience, and I dare say that so many of us have found God through that path because after we become broken and we are in so much pain that we can't quiet it anymore, we begin to reach out to God and ask him where he is. And as we sincerely reach out to him, he makes himself real to us. So I have to ask you today, is your heart broken? Did it lead you down a path you now want to get off of? You know, your life might be dark now, but it doesn't have to stay that way. There are many organizations that are offering their hands for you to hold to help you find your way. There are churches now that are reaching out to those who have worked in the adult entertainment business. There are community groups who are reaching out. You don't have to be in darkness anymore. You don't have to be in the subculture. You don't have to be on the edges of society because there are many that God is working through to help you know that he is reaching out to you. And all you have to do is be willing to bear yourself and to come before God and make some changes in your life. But we all know that we can't make those changes without God's help. We just don't have that kind of strength. But I will tell you that he is willing to help you. He desires to, and he is here for us. So are you willing to confront your secrets and give them up to God? By confessing your life to God, you free yourself by facing truth, and God will be faithful to restore your broken pieces. It doesn't happen overnight. Our lives didn't become shattered overnight, and they don't get put back together overnight. But it will happen. It will happen quicker than you realize because God is awesome and powerful, and he absolutely is faithful to restore us. And we can become a new creation. God tells us he chose to give us birth. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, become his prized possession. God created us to have a relationship with us. He wants us to love him, and he wants to love us. And through his word, we read his word, and it washes over us, and it creates within us a new heart and a new spirit, which is able to see God, is able to understand God. And again, this is all a process. It takes time. But when we are faithful to come to God and say we are in need of him, he's faithful to tell us that he is there for us. God created everyone with a dream inside of them. And I'm going to ask today, do you still remember what your dream is? Do you remember the dream that I bet you knew what it was when you were a child, or even in some real quiet moments, the dream that you have for yourself, which God placed inside of you, is still there, and it still rolls through your mind. It still comes, and you catch glimpses of it. You may even see an image. You may see a picture of it. Somebody may say something that stirs something inside of you that feels really exciting, and you're saying, what is that? You may see a movie or a TV show, and there's something about it that catches your heart. You were created with a dream inside of you, and I would like to speak life over those dreams. I would like to tell you that God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. He tells us to delight ourselves in him, and he will give us the desires of our heart. So I'm here to tell you that God was just so kind to create us with a dream. You know, he created us for his desire, but he created us to give us pleasure and to give us happiness and to give us joy. Life was never meant to be the way that we're living it or the way we have seen it play out. We all know that because of Adam's fall in the garden and because the devil is having his rule on earth at this time, that things have taken a turn in a direction that has caused many of us so much grief and sorrow. But God did not mean for it to be that way. He meant for us to have life and to have it more abundantly. So I just would like to say that there is hope. There is a way out. There is some really beautiful things that we've talked about today, that when people are working in jobs that a lot of society doesn't understand and they just judge them about, I would say don't be so quick to judge them, because each of us have something inside of us that we have to take to God and ask forgiveness of. And God tells us to get forgiveness from him. We have to forgive other people. And to get into these jobs and to go down this path, I venture to say that had a broken heart and had a dream, and the dream was taken from them. And they begin to think, this is all I can have. This is all I'm worth. There's nothing else left for me. I'm not good enough to do anything else. And a lot of times people didn't receive the skills or education, and there wasn't an opportunity for them to change these things in their life. And once you go into that darkness and you go down that path, it becomes incredibly hard to get out of it. So I'm speaking up for them today, and I'm saying to everyone that's listening that I love those people with all my heart, and that love comes from Jesus living through me, and that Jesus absolutely loves them with all that he is, and he came for them. And there's a story in the book of Matthew that I'm going to read. Let's say I'll start at I'll just go ahead and start at Matthew 26:1. It's just a few scriptures here, but it tells a really big story. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these things that he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. And they said, 'Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people.' And so while that was going on, Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. And a woman came to him, having an alabaster flask of very costly, fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, 'Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her.'" So, in keeping true to Scripture, I wanted to mention these verses because Jesus asked us to remember that this was done and why it was done. And she came to him, and you know, the story goes, a lot of us have heard this story, that perhaps this Mary was a prostitute and that she had sold everything that she owned, that she had worked for through this way of life, and that she had sold it for this beautiful perfume, and that she had been sitting at the feet of Jesus, and that she had been listening to him talk to the sinners. She had been sitting at those tables with the tax collectors and the prostitutes, and she heard his words, and his words sank deep into her body, into her spirit, into her soul. And those words healed her heart, and they helped her have the ability to make a life change. She sold everything that she owned, and then she went out and she bought this oil. And she took this to where she knew Jesus was going to be. And perhaps she was one of the few that understood the hour of the day that he was about to leave this world, and that she would not have him to teach her anymore at this time. They didn't know what was going to happen after his death, or even for sure if he was going to die. But she took this oil and she poured it on the top of his head. And that had to take some knowing Jesus intimately, I would think, to know how he was going to react, that he wouldn't be upset. And she did it in front of all these other people. And she poured it on his head. And then she washed his feet with her hair and her tears. And Jesus forgave her of her sins. He healed her heart. He created within her a new heart. He put his new spirit, and she became his new creation. Mary seemed drawn to the feet of Jesus. It is not surprising that all of those who follow Jesus, Mary's the one to anoint his feet. The disciples would have their opportunities to show the same love, but pride would prevent them. Martha, also, was prone toward acts of service, but she had developed a different kind of relationship with Jesus that Mary had. While Martha had labored on Jesus' behalf in the kitchen, Mary had joyfully sat at Jesus' feet and listened to him teach. Because Mary had come to know and love Jesus in this way, she was ready to humble herself and offer this poignant expression of love to him. Such depth and sincerity of love comes only through spending time in close fellowship with Jesus. The way we express our love for Jesus depends on the kind of relationship we've developed with him. Our love for him will not grow unless we spend time with him, listen to his voice, experience his love for us, If we find that our love for Jesus has waned or that we struggle to serve him, it's clear that we must take time to sit at his feet. We may have been involved in Christian activity on his behalf and yet neglected our own relationship with him. After we have spent time in intimate fellowship with our Lord, after we have heard his voice and received his love, we will be prepared to serve him, even laying down our life for him if that is what he asks of us. Well, I thank everyone for listening today. And, of course, there's so many other things we could discuss on this topic, and I'm sure we'll talk about it again. But Jesus came for the sinner. He came to be an example of love. He told us that of all the Ten Commandments, he just brought them straight down to two. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And I just don't think that that's too difficult to do, that we can accomplish those things, and that if we feel like we can't, we know that through Christ we can do all things, that nothing is impossible with him. So we can experience his forgiveness, his love, and we will be able to fulfill the law, which he broke down into those two great commandments. So I thank you for tuning in today. I'm going to leave you with this song that is a wonderful healing song by Stephanie Gretzel, and I hope that you enjoy it. Thanks for listening.
There's no need to cover what I already see. You've got your reasons, but I hold your peace. You've been on lockdown and I hold the key. Cause I loved you before, you knew it was love, and I thought till I chose the curve, and you were the one that I was thinking of when I rose from the grave. Now reeling the shackles, my victory is yours. I stood the door for you to come close. No reason to stand at a distance anymore. You're not alone. Oh. And I'll be your lighthouse when you're lost. And I will illuminate everything. Don't need to be frightened by anything. No, just throw your fear card. Thank you.